Our sermon for this first Sunday of Advent is Do Not Be Afraid of Silence. One of the Bible's consistent commandments is one of Advent's most repeated refrains, Fear not, be not afraid, do not fear. The angel appears to Zechariah, the husband to Elizabeth, the father to John, and fear overwhelms him. He is terrified. Do not fear, the angel says. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is greeted by the angel with the same words, do not fear. Then to Joseph, in a dream, the words come, fear not. And then to those shepherds under the deep blue of midnight, with their flocks trembling at what they have just seen and heard, do not be afraid. Because that's where the Christmas story begins, not with hope and joy and peace and love, but with fear, which is where our own lives hover to. I awake in the night at the least sound, the poet Wendell Berry writes, for fear of what my life and my children's lives might be. And how much more in this Advent season, with all of its unknowns and complexities and encroaching concerns, many of us are not entering into a symbolic season of waiting so much as we are already people who wait. Father Henry Nouwen has written on the spirituality of waiting. And writing in 1985, he observed this about his place in time. In our particular historical situation, waiting is even more difficult because we are so fearful. One of the most pervasive emotions in the atmosphere around us is fear. People are afraid, Nouwen wrote, and fearful people have a hard time waiting because when we are afraid, we want to get away from where we are and go someplace else. And yet we are where we are. We can't depart for Bethlehem, not just yet. We can't form an angel choir to break the silence. We can hardly find a way to sing ourselves. We can't sprint toward the manger. We must be present here, now, to God and to one another and to ourselves. And so perhaps this Advent is a time to consider our own fears and how Christ comes precisely to us, to people who are afraid. Like the fear that we consider this morning on this first Sunday of Advent, do not be afraid of silence. But we are, many of us are, that is, so many of us, in fact, that a psychological category has developed for this particular fear. Sedatophobia, it's called, a fear of silence for any number of reasons. There are those of us who associate silence with loss or pain. There are those of us for whom our anxious thoughts persist most greatly when it's quiet. There are those who feel pressure to perform or who have been criticized for being quiet or have come to have their voice overpowered to where they're not heard. And there are some of us who simply like the distraction that noise provides, and there are so many of us who rush to break any looming silence any time that one visits. The composer John Cage was known for music that employed long periods of silence. And when the music stopped, without fail, concertgoers would quickly fill the resulting silence with shuffling and with shifting, with whispers, and at a time when this was socially acceptable, with all the sounds of nervous coughing and clearing of throats. But what do we do when the music stops? Especially as people of faith, how often do we simply fill up the stillness? How frequently do we race to break the quiet? And maybe never any more so than in this season, when everything begins to pull us towards the volume and the music of Christmas, the swell of joy to the world, the chorus we hope will break against the sky, the comfort of light and volume. And while the message of Christmas is that God is in the music and the swell, the message of Advent might just be that God is in the stillness and the silence. For so often, our lives are not full of hope and joy, but full of monotony, of things that feel lifeless and shallow, passionless, convictionless, and still. Which is where we find the prophet Isaiah in our reading this morning, not racing forward with hope, but simply enduring, simply wondering when he will hear from God, clearing his throat to speak into the silence of his own Advent. And you can hear in the text what we might call the frustration of Isaiah. Our reading begins with the prophet almost in lament, crying out to God, God, how we wish you would break open the heavens and come down. How we wish the mountains would tremble. How we wish you would make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake. In other words, God, come down. Show up. Demonstrate your power in ways that we can't deny or ignore. It's been so long since anyone has heard from you, God, the prophet says in verse 4. It's been so long since any eye has seen you. No one calls your name anymore. No one strives to lay hold of you anymore. In other words, it is silent. It's more silent than we wish it were. Too silent sometimes for us to sense your presence, God. So silent that we struggle to call your name, God, to lay hold of you. We feel like you are hidden from us. Isaiah is known as the prophet of Advent, a person who knows so intimately well both the unmistakable volume of God's presence and the uneasy stillness of God's apparent absence. And Isaiah means so much to us in our own Advent because we know both of those things too. I don't know about you, but there are those times when I've bowed my head to pray and I just didn't feel anything. I sensed nothing happening. The words, they couldn't come, and who knows where they went, but certainly if I voiced them, no higher than the ceiling. And I don't know about you, but there are times when I wanted to say the right thing to the person lost or grieving, and I just couldn't find it. I couldn't reach it. I don't know about you, but I've watched helplessly as the wicked prosper, as the innocent suffer, and I've struggled to find the words of justice. And I don't know about you, but I've grimaced and grieved over the seeming impossibilities of our world that overwhelm. In the language of Isaiah, show us something, God. Do something. Rend the heavens. Break open the mountains. Do something. Make some noise. Because a God that makes noise, that's a God I can always hear, isn't it? And a God that breaks things open and comes with great exhibitions and strength is a God that I can always see, isn't it? And a God that shines the light so brightly and eases my fears, well, that's a God that I can always know and follow easily, isn't it? But then one thing we learn in this season of Advent is that sometimes God isn't like that at all. In fact, sometimes God doesn't make noise. Sometimes God makes silence. Kathleen Norris is a spiritual writer who is quite well known now, but earlier in her life and career, she spent time teaching in elementary schools quietly in the state of North Dakota to Native American children especially. And she has reflected about this experience, writing about traveling to different classes and teaching about writing and art. And in one of her exercises, she would go to the class and she would say, "Listen, class, I'll make a deal with you. First, you get to make all of the noise you want, and after that, you have to make silence." And here's how it worked. She would raise her hands, and the kids could make as much noise as they possibly could. They could scream, they could clap, they could stomp, they could bang on their desks as much as they wanted. But as she lowered her hands, they had to stop. She writes that it took two or three times to get the noise level really loud. The kids couldn't believe they were allowed to do this. So she would beg for more, more, and soon they would get it, and the room would be howlingly loud. And she also writes that it took even longer. It took plenty of practice to really make silence. Because invariably, someone would break it. A funny face, a murmur, or a squeak of a chair, a cough, or a clearing of the throat. It took practice to make the silence, but she eventually found that the children could do it. They could become just as good at and just as able to make silence as they were at making noise. And she makes two observations about this little experiment. First, silence always evoked more from her students than the noise did. When they wrote about it, when they described the noise, it was all the same. It was cliches and unoriginal writing. We were like a herd of elephants, or so much noise we couldn't hear ourselves think. They would write sort of thoughtless phrases. But when they wrote about silence, there was this burst of originality and creative thinking, liberated imaginations, these deep images, being as slow and silent as a tree. One girl described it as spiders spinning their webs. And another little girl offered this gem about the silence. It reminded me to take my soul with me wherever I go. And the second observation that Kathleen Norris makes was that while some kids loved it, others not so much. They were reticent. They were reluctant. "Why don't you want to do it?" she would ask. And one fifth grader replied, "Because it's scary. It's like we're waiting for something." Fearful people have a hard time waiting. But it comes down to this. If Advent begins in silence, if God is sometimes making silence around us, then maybe we should be making silence too. And to always insist for the things that Isaiah calls for, "break open the heavens, tremble the mountains, quake our enemies," is really not more than asking God to just make a lot of noise, right? And is that the only God that we want? Is that the only God that we have enough faith to follow? Or might Advent, this Advent, give us the chance to practice another way of knowing God and trusting God? For there are things we can learn in the silence that we will never learn amidst the noise. And we won't learn them if we keep shuffling and shifting and breaking the stillness. Keep alert, the gospel reading for this first Sunday of Advent says from the Gospel of Mark. For the movement of God is something you can, in fact, miss if you are not watchful, listening, and aware. So perhaps all of that silence can liberate us. Perhaps it can help us to understand our own lives more deeply and truthfully, help us to know God, not just in the moments of volume, but also in the moments of quiet where we spend so much of our lives. Is it scary? Absolutely. Does it feel like we're waiting for something? Undoubtedly. But maybe it can also remind us to take our souls with us wherever we go. Yes, Advent should teach us that sometimes God doesn't break open the heavens. Sometimes God sneaks into a barn on the edge of town to be born in the stable of the world that held little room amidst all of its urgent noise. So do not be afraid of this silence. For if we're still enough, we learn that the silence comes right before the sound that visits as quietly as a star that breaks against a monotonous night sky, as silently as an angel who appears as though but in a dream, and as softly as a baby crying in a manger. So enough noise. Make silence. Make silence.